Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you. part of the service. Amen. Well, let's get into the message. It's called A Life of Sacrifice. The Christian life is meant to be marked by simplicity. Jesus summed up our purpose with two statements, love God and love people. But in our humanity, we have made a complex with God designed to be peaceful, first, full, and simple. A.W. Tozer remarks in the pursuit of God, every age has its own characteristics. Right now, we are in an age of religious complexity. The simplicity which is in Christ is rarely found among us. It is indeed our programs and methods and organizations and world and numerous activities which occupy time and attention but can never satisfy the longing of the heart. The shallowness of our inexperience, the hollowness of our worship, and the servile imitation of the world which makes our promotional methods all testify that we in this day know God only imperfectly and the peace of God scarcely at all. If we would find God amid all the religious externals, we must first determine to find Him and then proceed in the way of simplicity. So may we discover the peace and joy that comes from pursuing simple Christianity this week. Living for our own gain adds stress, pressure, and chaos to life, successfully robbing us of all transcendent peace available through sacrificial living. We were never created to be our own provider or sustainer. We were never meant to develop our own source of joy and purpose. The only place we will find lasting peace is in complete surrender to God's intention for us, a life total sacrifice. Jesus was our perfect model. He did everything according to the perfect and pleasing will of the Father. And Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verse 23-25, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses and forfeits himself? So Jesus makes it clear that sacrifice is the gateway to finding the life God intends for us. It's a pathway that leads to the perfect will of our Heavenly Father. If you're like me, living life sacrificially initially sounds terrible and unattainable. It feels impossible based on past experience and present selfish desires. But we need to take time to know God to whom we are sacrificing our lives. We need to renew our mind to the perfect love of Jesus who would lay down his own life for us before asking us to follow in his footsteps. The life God intends for you is better than anything you could discover on your own. If he's asking you to live sacrificially, it must be holy and perfectly in your benefit. We are not sacrificing our own wills, plans, and dreams to a God who has less satisfying plans for our lives. We are not surrendering a happier, better life for something less boring or meaningless. Jesus said in John 10:10, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. God has plans greater than we can ever ask or imagine in store for us. If we will lay down our dreams to make the space for His, His inexpressible joy for us is if we will exchange what was made us temporarily happy for His dreams and visions that are full of purpose, meaning, and adventure. Jesus willingly laid down His life and received everything He had dreamed of, restored a relationship with you. What's waiting for you on the other side of sacrifice today? Find out as you engage in the act of surrender during a guided prayer. Meditate on Jesus' command for you to live your life sacrificially. Reflect on God's desire to lead you to abundant life through surrender and sacrifice. What do you need to surrender to the Father? What dream, idea, person, or possession is robbing you of abundant life God intends for you? Where do you need to live sacrificially to experience more of Jesus? Surrender whatever stands in the way of you and an abundant life God has for you. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So choose to live sacrificially today. Ask the Holy Spirit to make the will of the Father known to you as He did for Jesus and commit to following whatever He is asking you to do. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5-8, have this in mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though He was in form of God did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. So take up your crosses in a way designed to burden and constrain you, but the opportunity to live in the presence, peace, and purpose of God. There is freedom in store for you through sacrifice. There is purpose and joy in laying down your life for God and others. If you receive the perspective and courage to pursue God's will for your life, you will discover more peace and consistency, passion, and direction than you ever thought possible. I highly suggest that you read Philippians chapter 2 that will bring this devotional moment to light. Amen. Well, let's get into the most important question, and that is, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? If you do not, that's okay, because we will give you a chance in a moment. But let me ask you, are you tired of traveling down this long, dusty road and never knowing which way to go or which way is up or down? Or maybe you lack purpose in life, or maybe you suffer from depression or anxiety. Or maybe you suffer from far so much worse, such as addiction to alcohol or drugs, okay, sexual immorality, gambling, overeating, whatever the problem may be. See, the Lord can take it away. But in order for him to do so, he has to know you. So the question is, do you want to get to know the Lord Jesus Christ tonight as your personal Lord and Savior? If so, simply say this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, for too long I have kept you out of my life. I know that I'm a sinner and that I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking upon it. By faith, I gracefully receive your gift of salvation. I am so ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. So I want to say thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth. I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross at Calvary for my sins and then rose from the dead on the third day. So once again, I want to thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true, so please come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior tonight. And we pray this in the mighty, precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, if you said that prayer, we here at God's Rainbow Ministry welcome you into the family of God, and we wish that God may keep you highly favored. Amen. All righty. If you said this prayer, we would like you to also call in to area code 657-383-1487. Once again, that number is 657-383-1487. And tell us that you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ tonight as your personal Lord and Savior. Okay? Because right now the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and everyone in heaven is rejoicing that you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. So let us rejoice with them too. Amen? All right. Oh, well, whatever. Okay, let's take some calls. 111, you're on the air.
Hey, Pat, again, this is the Grover, Washington, and I'm down here in San Antonio, and you didn't take, I left you a message. I left you a message and you never called me back. I wonder what I did to you that made you so mad. I needed you to talk to me, but you didn't call me back. What happened?
I didn't get the message.
But I left it on your answering machine, and it was a long one. It was over a minute and 22 seconds, and I left you a message. I don't know why your messages are getting deleted. Is there somebody getting in the way?
I don't know. I didn't get your message. Okay.
Well, who runs
but
the answering
anyway,
machine?
How are you doing,
who runs? Well, I've been better. I'll tell you what. I was thinking maybe, you know, we got a holiday coming up here. We got the Halloween coming up. I was wondering if I could maybe come by and get some candy and refreshments and whatnot, do the trick or treats. I do the tricks and treats on the 31st. You going to let me come by?
No, nobody's trick or treating in our neighborhood. It's against the housing authority.
Well, you could just kind of, but you know me, and I wear a mask, and I wear rubber gloves, and I use a hand sanitizer. I use this hand sanitizer if I come by. You just, you know, you could give me a little help here.
Like I said, Rover, we're not doing Halloween this year. We've got stuff up, okay, for Halloween. But we're not celebrating with candy this year.
I heard that when people come to your house, you give out condoms and anti.
Okay, thanks, Rover. Okay, let's get another 111 caller and see who we got here. Okay.
Good evening.
Hello, 111, you're on the air.
Good evening. This is Mike Hunt calling in with a special report.
Okay, Mike, how you doing?
Oh, not too bad, and I hope you're doing well and cutting back on cigarettes. I'm going to get right to it, Kenny. Last night, Doug got very drunk again. He spent hours at the bar. He should have taken an Uber, but he chose to drive his car. When he got home, he drank some moonshine, about half a jar. Before he passed out, he jerked off, thinking about Farrar. Doug wants a threesome with Ken and Tony, but that's way too far. It's true that Doug had sex with a raccoon and received a small bite, and it left a scar. He never paid his child support. He's a terrible father. He stuck a cucumber up his ass, and in walked his daughter. This happens all the time, but he fantasizes about Ken, but he thinks frittata's hotter. Doug, you need to quit drinking unless it's water. Doug is a queen, Doug is a queer. When he's not having gay sex, he's drinking a beer. Joe Gibson doesn't like you, and I don't either. So go home and run and lick your mama's beaver. You know, I'm really angry at Kosoff. I'm sick of him. He was saying on Joe Gibson's chat, he also said about you that Ken rode a Harley wearing a dress, and the ball, something about ball sweat, stuck your nuts to the seat. And you should have wore panties and how you would shift gears wearing high heels. He was married, you know, these type of comments I'm not okay with. He owes Joe Gibson a damn apology, and you, he owes an apology too. Kosoff, clean it up, buddy, okay? And you owe Ken a big apology and Joe Gibson, and knock it off. And Pastor Ken, thank you for doing a show. I look forward to more of your callers. Have a great evening, gentlemen. Thank you.
You too, Mike. God bless. Okay. Let's take another caller. 111.
I believe it got disconnected. Could I just maybe come by on Halloween and maybe you could suck me off through the door?
No, Grover, that never happened. Okay. Okay. Well, okay. I'm going to have Tony read the Bible before you tonight. Okay, here he is. Okay, let me pull it up for you. Okay, here we go.
Message to Seven Churches, Part 2, Revelations 2, 29, Psalms 148, 1, 3, Proverbs 30, 7, 9. These sayings, says the Son of God, who has eyes like the flame of fire and his feet like fine brass, I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants, to commit sexual immorality, and eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each of you according to your works. Now to you I say, and to the rest, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put onto you no other burdens, but hold fast with what you have till I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels, as I have also received from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, and to the angel of the church in Sardis write. These things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you received and have heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. You have a few names, even in Sardis, and you have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things say he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens the door and no one shuts, and shuts no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan, who say they are Jews and are not, but lie indeed. I will make them come and worship before your feet, and to know that I have loved you, because you have kept my command to persevere. I will also keep you from the hour. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast that you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he who shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of the heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, and to the angel of the church of Leviticus, write. These things say the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then because of you, you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot. I will vomit you out of my mouth, because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy for me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say to the churches. Revelations 2:18-3:22. Words of worship from Psalms 148:1-3. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, you are all stars of light. And then I will leave you, thankfully, with the words from Proverbs 37:9. And by the way, just to remind you that, yes, I am reading somebody else's word. I'm reading the word of man from the Bible, the way it was meant to be shared. So I don't want y'all to say I was being plagiaristic. Back to Proverbs 37:9. Two things I request of you. Deprive me not before I die. Remove falsehood and lies from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you, and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. Thanks for having me, guys.
Amen. Good reading, Tony.
Thank you.
All right. Well, I hope you all enjoyed the Bible reading for tonight. Done by Tony Farrar. Amen. All right. I want to thank everybody for coming to this live show tonight, okay, on October 27th, okay, of 2020. Okay, at 8:50 p.m. Thank you very much. Okay. All righty. Let's take another caller. Okay. All right. Well,
all right,
well, let's take another caller,
111. Oh, shalom, Kenny.
Shalom, darling, how you doing?
I'm good, brother, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
You hanging in there, brother?
Uh-huh.
It was good talking to you the other night in the voice chat, brother. That was it was a long time since we talked in the voice chat. It was a good time, brother.
Yeah, amen.
So, Kenny, how is your week going, my man? Is it going well?
Yeah, it's been going okay.
Well, that's good. Is your health good, brother? I'm always worried about you with COPD.
Yeah, I'm doing okay.
Well, that's great, man. Have you been able to cut back on the cigarettes? Cigarellos?
Yeah, I cut back.
Well, that's beautiful, Kenny. You sound like you're doing great, brother. Has your health improved?
Somewhat, yeah. I would say so.
Well, that's beautiful, man. Listen, I'm not calling to troll or nothing. I just wanted to call in, say hello and see how you were. There's no funny stuff going on with the call. I just wanted to call in and check on you, brother. Is there any other calls?
Yeah, we got Doug on the line.
Oh, well, that's my cue then, Kenny. You go ahead and bring him on, brother. I'm going to sign out.
Okay, all right. Let's bring Doug on. Okay. Hello,
hi,
Doug.
Ken,
how
are you?
Hey, how you doing, Doug?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
What's wrong, DC? Too scared to talk to me?
Oh, no, I'm
no.
still here.
No, he's there.
Oh. Oh, I thought he said he was signing out.
Well, I'm not going to listen, brother. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm just going to sit here and listen to the call. So if Kenny keeps me on the air, I'll stay on the air. I'm not afraid of anybody.
Oh, I didn't say you were afraid of anybody.
You just said, is DC too afraid to talk to me? Literally.
Yeah, I didn't say were you afraid of anybody. I said, were you afraid to talk to me? I didn't say you're afraid of me.
All right, Doug. Okay. Kenny, you go ahead and you and Doug can talk, brother. I'm just gonna
okay. All right. Well, good to hear from you, Ken. See you later, man.
Okay, Doug. Okay.
Kenny, do you have any 1-1-1 calls, brother?
Yeah, I got another one just came available. Okay,
oh.
Let me pull it up.
Let's see who it is.
Oh, 1-1-1.
Hey, guys.
Oh.
What's up? It's Randy.
Shalom, what's up? Randy. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing well. Ken, I wish you wouldn't have berated Doug like that. I wanted to speak to him. It's kind of unfortunate.
He hung up.
Oh, I thought he hung up, or did you hang up on him? Because,
No,
Doug,
he hung up.
A bad rap.
Hung up.
Well, I feel like now you're berating me. I mean, I was just trying to speak. Ken, why do you speak over me like that? I'm just trying to say something. Can I speak now?
Go ahead, Randy.
Okay, thank you. It's just that you just... I feel like you were trying to do to me what you just did to poor Doug, which was, kick him off the show, which was kind of rude. Doug, if you're listening, I think just want to say I enjoy our talks. You're a good guy. Ken may be having a moment right now. Ken, you didn't mean to hang up on him, right?
No, I didn't hang up on him.
Oh, Ken, Doug's on the line? Doug, hey,
no,
what's up, man?
He hung up.
Ken, I know, but I'm trying to talk to Doug, but you keep talking over me and Doug. Doug, what's up, man? It's Randy. Doug.
He's not on the line, Randy. He hung up.
Oh, you hung up on him. All right, well, that's kind of sad. Ken, how's everything going for you, though? Is everything good?
Everything's great.
No coronavirus, no nothing?
No.
Good. I've been praying for you, Ken.
Well, thank you, Randy.
Yeah, and Tony. I have to admit, I like Farrar's message. I think he's very articulate when he reads, and I can enjoy that. He pronunciates all the... sometimes you get mush mouth, Ken, and it's kind of difficult to really understand you. But I think that that Tony F. did a really good job, although you do good jobs too. I mean, I'm not saying – I mean, you do a really good job, but I don't want to take up too much time. But can I say ask at DC2, how's everything with you, my friend?
I'm glad you asked, brother. I'm good. Everything is lovely. Kenny – actually, for a while did not allow me on the show, but now I'm back on the show, brother, and I feel great about it, and I appreciate Kenny letting me back on. We had a nice talk in the voice chat, and but I'm doing well, brother. I'm doing well, and, I hope you're doing well as too, brother. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. I'm kind of ashamed to say I was in a drug treatment facility, so... But I'm out now. I feel like I'm cured by the grace of God.
Amen.
Yeah, it was a hard road, but I came out of that tunnel at the end, and I feel better. I feel better about myself. Yeah,
I'm glad to hear, brother. Kenny, do you have any thoughts on that? That's beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah, that's great. I hope that you can maintain your sobriety.
Kenny, that didn't sound heartfelt to me.
I felt that too.
Kenny, are you being serious right now?
Yeah, I'm being serious.
I'm trying to pour my heart out to you. I'm trying to tell you guys about my situation. And he just makes fun of me.
I'm not making fun of you. You maintain your sobriety.
But Kenny, you were stuttering and stammering like when you lie, Kenny. Like, it's okay, brother. Hey, listen to me. It's all right. We're proud of you. We're proud of you, brother. You're closer to the Lord now.
I hope so. I'm just really trying to maintain. I really am. And it's difficult.
Kenny, you got to be supportive, brother. Come on now. Kenny?
But anyway.
Kenny, I am supportive.
I've had a cocaine addiction for quite some time, and I lost my family, I lost the kids. Due to this addiction, I was spending all the money on blow, and I'm sorry. I just, you know what, Ken?
What's that,
Kenny? Oh, okay. Yeah.
What's that, Randy?
Uh-oh.
Randy dropped. Okay.
Well, that's too bad.
Yeah. Okay, hold on. We got some more callers here. Let's see. Who we got? Okay, 111.
Pastor Ken, you keep hanging up on me. I don't know what I did wrong. I just want to talk to you. You won't take the call. You won't take my messages. I'll leave you a long voicemail. You won't answer me.
Kenneth, you got to let Grove on, brother. He's a friend of the show.
I didn't do anything wrong to you, unless calling your home is a crime. I don't think it's a crime.
Well,
he's
no,
a good
man. It's just... Sometimes it's just inconvenient.
But you don't pick up the phone. I mean, I'm not bothering you because you never answer it.
Okay, well, first of all, Grover, that's not my phone, okay? That belongs to Tony F. I just use it for the shows, okay?
But Ken, you gave the number out on the air. You gave it out.
That is true, Ken.
That's Tony F's number.
Why would you
give
out Tony F's
phone
number?
Air. You told Wanda one time, hey, call me, Wanda. Call me at this 210-267-1863.
Grove, don't give out the number, brother. Come on, man. Don't give out the number. He'll kick you off the show.
Yep, he's gone.
Oh, Lord have mercy, Grove. You can't give out a brother's number live on the show, brother. Come on, man. Lord have mercy. Oh. I'm sorry about that, Kenny. I don't know why. He knows better than that to give out that number.
Yep. He surely does.
Is that,
oh,
is
we
that
got
all
another 111 caller. Let's see who this is. Hello, 111.
Hey, Ken. I don't know what I did wrong for you to hang up on me. It's Randy.
I didn't hang up on you. You dropped.
No. Okay. Sure. I just heard muted, and then I was hung up on.
Kenny, you do this sometimes. You mute people, and then you accidentally hang up on them, brother. I mean, it's happened to me a couple of times. I don't know if you know you're doing it or not, but I think you might have done it again.
No, I didn't do it. I swear to God, I didn't. His call just dropped.
All right, Kenny. Okay.
I believe you, Ken. And you know, Ken, one of the reasons I wanted to call into the show is because I feel like you can shed some light and you would be able to understand my situation when it comes to drug addiction and what I'm going through. And I was hoping to get some type of support and some kind of insight from you, you know, without being hung up on. And I feel like you shame me a little bit, but I just, what do I do? I mean, I've been having these urges to go out what I did is they said I shouldn't drink alcohol either, but I've been starting to drink alcohol these past 2 days. And, you know, as I drink more,
You see, when you go into rehab for drugs, okay, alcohol is considered a drug as well, okay?
Yeah.
And alcohol leads to other drugs, okay?
Yeah, I know.
Okay, so I would leave alcohol alone, Randy. Okay, because it is a drug.
It's hard though. It's difficult for me. You know, I'm trying, and I just said, okay, no more cocaine. So then what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna stick strictly to alcohol. And I've been doing okay because when I first got out, I said, okay, I'm only gonna drink one beer and that's it. So, of course, now I'm up to a 12 pack, but I'm still just sticking with beer. So I mean, I'm doing pretty good, don't you think? Or am I just a loser?
Well,
oh,
no,
brother, you're not a loser.
You shouldn't drink it at all, Randy.
Kenny, where's your empathy, brother? I mean, he thinks he's a loser. You gotta.
He's not a loser. Okay, you gotta just start thinking smarter. Okay.
Oh, then I'm stupid? You said I'm stupid then?
Oh, Kenny.
No. I didn't say you're stupid. I said you start thinking smarter. Okay? Okay? I mean, Randy, alcohol is a drug. Okay?
Kenny, you don't outthink an addiction, brother. Kenny, you don't outthink an addiction, brother.
Oh my God! I can't believe you're saying I'm stupid, Ken. I'm not trying to be. I'm kind of smart. I don't know what's happening in my life.
Yeah, listen, Randy. You're not stupid, brother. You're just an addict, brother. Small people get addicted all the time, and that is not true. You're not stupid. Kenny, I don't know why you would make him feel that way.
But then why did Ken say that then? Because
Randy, let me call a spade here. Kenny's not the sharpest tool in the shed, okay? So, you know, that might be why. That could be.
Oh,
did you
well,
just hang up on him?
We got disconnected.
No, you hung up on him. The way you're going to hang up on me in my time of need. Ken, why do you hang up on people? You hung up on me when I needed you, and now you hung up on DC too? What do I do? How do I prevent myself from drinking anymore? Because I feel like the more I drink, the more I want to, you know, try other things.
Okay, well, just don't drink alcohol. Just stop drinking alcohol.
Let me just say one more thing, Kenneth. You're a real asshole, Ken.
You're an asshole.
You deserve the AIDS because all you do is talk down to people. And you think you're better than everyone, but you also have had your issues and your moments of weakness. But what do? You throw it in my face and you call me stupid, and then you hang up on Don Cornelius for trying to help me. I mean, what kind of pastor does that? Why would you do that? I mean, he's trying to. You got mad because he said that you're kind of stupid, and I understand. I understand that, you know, that's insulting.
Goodbye, Randy. Okay. All righty. Well, thank you, everybody. Okay. I'm gonna say good night. Okay. God bless you all. Okay, for calling in and listening to the show. Okay, God bless you, and may you have a great night. Amen.